You're welcome back to the news at one. The IDA plans to deliver 75,000 jobs over the next 5 years and upskill 40,000 workers. Those figures are in its strategy for the next 5 years, published this morning. The agency, which is responsible for attracting and retaining international industry here, also says that against a backdrop of uncertainty, it will prioritise renewing and retaining the companies already here. Michael Lohan, the IDA chief executive, is with us. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Mick.
I think it's safe to say that at the moment Donald Trump permeates just about every discussion. Do you expect the next 5 years to be more challenging than the last five?
So maybe just to focus, I think, because today is about launching our strategy for the next 5 years, and it's very much on that basis. We're looking forward. But you're correct, we're looking forward from a place of realism. And, you know, we have spent the last 14, 15 months developing this strategy. What we've seen from an FDI in a global economy in over that last period of 2 years, we've seen a significant change in industrial policy in terms of protectionism, and that continues. So this strategy has been developed against that backdrop. And what's important for us as we go forward, and you're correct, you've outlined, I think, some of the key components of our strategy, but there are growth opportunities and there's real growth drivers for the global economy and the Irish economy. And maybe just to summarise what they look like, firstly is there's four of them from our perspective. First is AI and digitalisation, a real growth opportunity. Second is in the area of semiconductors. Thirdly is in the whole area of sustainability and the green economy. And the fourth area is in the area of healthcare and all that goes around healthcare and digital health. And these are areas which we believe, given the strength of the Irish economy, given the strength of the enterprise base here in Ireland, we have an ability to actually go and to capitalise on those growth areas for the future. Notwithstanding, there is going to be headwinds.
Put simply, if a US company already manufacturing here has to pay a substantial tariff on goods being exported to the US, isn't there a danger it will move at least some of that production back to America?
Well, at one level there is, but maybe we should look at the figures as they sit today. So maybe just to take a moment. So the FDI base in Ireland contributes just over 420 billion in terms of exports on an annual basis. And that's goods and services. 85% of those exports are outside of North America. So they're actually serving international markets. And that has been the real, I suppose, core of the Irish proposition. Ireland is a location where you can serve international markets from, and you know it doesn't matter whether you're an FDI company from North America or an FDI company from Asia, you are using Ireland for that basis.
So, and yet when it comes to pharmaceuticals in particular, and we know how important they are to the economy of this country, we're talking about a huge amounts of product being exported to the United States.
We are, but in the overall context, that huge amount of product still relates to 25% of the goods that's been exported. So 75% of all of the goods from an FDI perspective are actually going outside of North America. So we just need to put that in context as well. Now, I'm not saying that that's to downplay the risk that's associated with tariffs, because if you look at tariffs are, you know, they're not productive in terms of supporting trade flows, in supporting innovation, in supporting global supply chains. So they're disruptive in that context, but we need to put it in the context of our overall activity. And I do believe as well, because I think I've listened to the tarnisher just before I joined, the new administration in the US and the president is very much focused on what can strengthen the US. He won't look to damage the US economy. And obviously, when you have integrated supply chains, you have to take that into context as you look forward and
negotiate. Yet, presumably, though, the companies you work with at the moment, the companies already here, they must be putting contingency plans in place.
So the companies we work with here, and remember we have 1,800 client companies, you know, across, and roughly 50-50 split between services probably on the larger side versus goods. And of course, all of the conversation is on the goods deficit. Mm-hmm. There is no conversation on the massive surplus from a US perspective in terms of services.
But I suppose that's because Donald Trump is focusing on the goods.
And that's because that's because of where the focus is. But what is important to recognise is all of those companies are used to complexity, they're used to international trading. Yes, they don't want to see tariffs because tariffs actually will have a disruption, not just in terms of their supply chain, but I think more importantly in terms of cost competitiveness. And in particular, I think you will see, and this has been well documented, I think, and spoken on, is the inflationary impact it could have in terms of economies across the globe as well. And of course, no one wants to see that occurring.
You say in your strategy today that you want to enable the upskilling of 40,000 workers. What sort of people and what sort of skills?
Yeah, so that's an excellent question. So maybe just to summarise, we're looking at four key elements within our strategy. One of those key elements is about strengthening what we have. So that's about sustaining what we have and growing what we have. So it's a bit like we want to win, strengthen and maintain what we have in the first context. The second area, we want to drive sustainable change in terms of adoption of digital and sustainable technologies. The third area is really deep in our R&D ambition, and we've set a very clear ambition here of 7 billion being supported through IDA over the next 5 years. And the fourth area then is in terms of the area of balanced regional development and ensuring we continue on that vein, which has been really transformational for our country.
And what sort of skills do you want people to learn?
So if we look at the upskilling, we look across our entire sector, what we're targeting here, we're very conscious that if you look at the technology that's coming in terms of whether it's AI, whether it's automation, you know, the impact that's happening in our sectors, our manufacturing sectors, our business sectors, what we need to make sure is that we actually have those organisations fit for what the future. And that future will involve new technology, but also new skills. And that's why we're targeting upskilling and reskilling in conjunction with what happens in the wider ecosystem in Ireland as well. We are one component of helping to promote and, I think, incentivise that upskilling and reskilling of our economy.
And finally then, when it comes to attracting new industry and big employers into various parts of the country, is a lack of housing and indeed the cost of housing, are those an impediment to attracting investment?
And well, certainly in our strategy, we've called out what we call the enabling factors. And one of those enabling factors is the carrying capacity of the economy. And housing is certainly within that. I would say that, you know, we were seeing green shoots in housing. We need to continue to see that momentum because, you know, in order for us to grow the economy, and not just from an enterprise perspective, but also from a social perspective and a population perspective, we need more housing.
Is it something that they mention to you?
They absolutely do. And they're aware of it, but they're also aware that, you know, in every global economy in the world and developed economy, you have a housing shortage and a housing challenge.
Ours is particularly acute though. Well, I mean, the OECD pointed that out last week.
Yeah, well, it at one level it is, but if you go to any of the major cities in the US or indeed in many parts of Europe, you will see similar challenges. So I know we focus on, and rightly so, we should focus on it. And I think for government, it's a key priority for government, and we're very supportive of increasing that delivery of housing in the years to come.
Michael Lohan, Chief Executive of the IDA. Thank you for talking to us this lunchtime.